Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is February 26, 2020. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Coinbase Wallet adds short, customizable addresses to simplify sending cryptos. Finnish authorities have $15 million in seized Bitcoin but don't want to sell it. Swiss Stock Exchange invests in institutional trading platform for digital assets. Australian soccer club calls off purchase deal with controversial crypto company. Error or plunder? Report suggests Fcoin purposely moved customer Bitcoin since 2019. Bitcoin erases 38% of 2020 price rally as bears gain strength. Crypto investors case against AT&T over $24 million SIM hack can proceed, judge rules. Malta's financial watchdog highlights obstacles to security tokens after industry consultation. Now let's get started. Coinbase Wallet adds short, customizable addresses to simplify sending cryptos. Coinbase Wallet users can now send cryptocurrencies to short human-friendly addresses as well as ones creating using the Ethereum Name Service, ENS. Product lead Sid Coelho Prabhu announced Tuesday that Coinbase Wallet now supports customizable wallet usernames for sending cryptocurrencies, rather than traditional long-form ones such as hexadecimal 89136, A83664FA 0673930B 34463E 444,260,775DC. We believe these improvements will make cryptocurrency much easier to use and help drive adoption with a more mainstream audience, Coelho Prabhu said in a blog post. Sent live Tuesday, users can send cryptocurrencies by asking recipients for their wallet usernames like @WalletFan and use them as the sending addresses. There is also an option to keep usernames private. To be clear, the short usernames do not replace 16-digit wallet addresses but instead provide a more user-friendly representative that sits on top. A user can send cryptocurrencies using the associated username rather than typing in the full wallet address. The new support also includes an integration with ENS, allowing Coinbase Wallet users to send cryptocurrencies to .eth addresses. Launching in 2018, Coinbase Wallet provides users with a service to store and transfer cryptocurrencies to one another. Users have been able to use a decentralized web feature since August 2019. Coelho Prabhu confirmed that all cryptocurrencies supported by the app, including Bitcoin, BTC, Ether, ETH, and XRP, can now be sent using the new username feature. Finnish authorities have $15 million in seized Bitcoin but don't want to sell it. Finland's customs agency has been struggling with what to do with a hoard of Bitcoin it fears could end up back in the hands of criminals if sold off. Finnish customs, known locally as Tulli, has been trying to offload a total of 1,666 Bitcoin for several years, even drawing up a plan in September 2018 for a public auction of the digital coins. But officials have concerns that a sale would attract the wrong kind of attention and that it could even put the agency's own security at risk. Speaking to local media, Tulli director Pekka Pilkkinen said, "From our point of view, the problems are specifically related to the risk of money laundering. The buyers of cryptocurrency rarely use them for normal endeavors." Tulli confiscated the Bitcoin trove following a successful bust of an online dark market in September 2016. At the time, Bitcoin traded at around $570, meaning the 1,666 BTC was worth approximately $950,000, with prices now just under $9,200, it's worth closer to $15 million, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin Price Index. At Bitcoin's all-time peak near $20,000 in December 2017, the cash would have been worth almost $33 million. Thule isn't the only government authority having to decide what to do with confiscated Bitcoin, usually with dollar values many times greater than when they were first seized. The U.S. government, which has seized hundreds of millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin over the years, has hosted multiple online auctions for confiscated Bitcoin. Bitcoin confiscated by the Belgian authorities was sold by an online auction house in early 2019. And later that year, UK police used the same auctioneer to sell more than $290,000 worth of cryptocurrency it had seized from a teenage hacker. In 2018, the Finnish government barred customs officials from trying to sell seized Bitcoin on exchanges or trading platforms, ordering the agency instead to hold any confiscated digital assets in a secure cold storage solution. Pylkanen's claim that most crypto holders use them for illicit purposes isn't supported by the numbers. A November report from blockchain analytics firm Elliptic suggested $829 million in Bitcoin, just 0.5% of all transactions, were linked to the dark web. Swiss Stock Exchange invests in institutional trading platform for digital assets. Switzerland's leading stock exchange has invested in an institutional trading platform, with plans to use it as a gateway into the digital asset space. SIX Swiss Exchange announced Tuesday it has formed a partnership with San Francisco-based institutional solution Omniex to provide SIX and its subsidiary, Swiss Digital Exchange (SDX), with access to cryptocurrency markets. Thomas Zeeb, SIX head of securities and exchanges as well as a member of the executive board, explained there was a growing need for platforms like SIX to have access to cryptocurrencies. The tie-up with Omniex will provide the stock exchange with a standardized and secure gateway in the emerging digital asset market, he said. With SDX as the digital exchange infrastructure in development, the collaboration with Omniex to deliver the front end for clients, both for existing cryptocurrencies, as well as in future for SDX-listed assets, is an important addition to the digital ecosystem, Zeeb said in a statement. As part of the agreement, SIX also agreed to become a shareholder in Omniex for an undisclosed sum. With a market cap of more than 1 trillion Swiss francs, just over 1 trillion United States dollars, in January 2020, SIX is Switzerland's principal stock exchange. It has listed a series of exchange-traded products, ETPs, that provide exposure to cryptocurrencies in a familiar and regulated tracker product. SIX launched SDX in 2019 to provide a trusted cryptocurrency trading platform for both institutional and retail traders, but has since narrowed this down to just its professional clients. Although initially slated for the summer of 2019, a spate of departures at the executive level means the SDX launch date has been pushed back to the end of 2020. Founded by former State Street executives, Omniex raised $5 million in a seed round in 2017. The company provides exchanges with the technology to ensure best execution and minimal slippage when trading cryptocurrencies. Together with SIX, we aim to offer an end-to-end solution for the trading and settlement of digital assets, including the SIX Digital Exchange (SDX), once operationally live, said Omniex CEO and co-founder Hu Liang. It will still take some time, but the cornerstones are in place to accelerate the broader adoption of natively digitalized assets. Australian soccer club calls off purchase deal with controversial crypto company. The owner of a top-tier Australian football club has walked away from buyout negotiations with a controversial cryptocurrency company. Owner Tony Sage confirmed Monday a deal to sell 80% of the equity in Perth Glory FC to the London Football Exchange, LFE, had been scrapped, according to Australian news source The New Daily. LFE is an exchange, built on the blockchain, designed to allow supporters to trade equity in their favorite clubs. It's understood LFE does not yet hold equity in any football club, and the Perth deal was to be its first ever acquisition. Perth Glory confirmed it had entered an asset sale and purchase agreement with LFE in early February. In early January, Sage had been announced as the new LFE chairman to start on March 1. At the time, LFE CEO Jim Aylward had called the agreement the cherry on the cake. He told followers on Twitter, "We are building a football group that is going to lead to a tokenized ecosystem, so there is going to be utility for the token." However, there have been concerns over the deal and LFE's background. An investigation by Australian radio station 6PR earlier this week alleged Aylward is actually James Abbas Binias, a convicted fraudster who attempted to defraud the UK tax office of $98,000, roughly $126,000. He was sentenced to a 22-month prison sentence in 2010. Aylward reportedly did not deny the claim when asked by the station. 6PR also reported LFE faces a $2.2 million court case brought by a Turkmenistani oil trader who claims the token firm used fraudulent information to persuade him to make a loan to the company. LFE had previously entered talks to purchase equity in FC Nantes 2 years ago, but this fell through when the French club concluded the company's seriousness and credibility could not be guaranteed. Confessing to being new to cryptocurrencies, Sage said in a blog post just last week there were numerous synergies that can exist between the crypto and the football worlds. He also asked supporters to try and understand the benefits before passing any judgment on LFE or the crypto industry. Sage, however, flew to London last week to address mounting concerns by meeting with Aylward in person. Aylward had promised Sage deals with the English Premier League, the New Daily says, but had been unable to explain how the Perth Glory acquisition would be funded. Following his return, Sage advised the governing body Football Federation Australia FFE Monday night the acquisition deal was off. It's unclear whether Sage is still planning on taking up the position as LFE chairman. Error or plunder? Report suggests Fcoin purposely moved customer Bitcoin since 2019. Ever since Fcoin fell insolvent this month, blockchain researchers have been poring over data to figure out what caused the failure and where all the China-based exchange's cryptocurrency went. A recent report from Silicon Valley-based Anchain AI wonders whether funds were pilfered by insiders, challenging Fcoin's official line claiming a data error was to blame. The study is provocatively titled, Fcoin Exchange Shutdown, Technical Difficulties or Planned Scam? On February 17, Fcoin revealed a shortfall of up to $130 million worth of Bitcoin, BTC. The exchange's verified cold wallet, the cryptocurrency version of a bank vault used to hold customer Bitcoin, was emptied. According to Anchain AI, from 2019 until February 2020, the cold wallet's funds were likely moved to four other exchanges: Gate.io, Binance, OKEx and Huobi, and then beyond. Anchain AI is more upfront about its suspicions than another analysis firm, China-based PeckShield, which reported that Fcoin's problem started in 2018. According to PeckShield, Fcoin was not properly accounting for transactions on its platform, enabling users to leak out valuable cryptocurrencies to other exchanges. More than 25,350 BTC has passed in and out of Fcoin's primary cold wallet, which Anchain AI labeled Fcoin underscore 1 in its analysis. The last 54 BTC was drained in a transaction sent on February 13. 4 days later, Fcoin founder Zhang Jian announced the exchange would no longer be able to process customer withdrawals. A wallet is considered cold when the private key controlling it is kept offline, on a hardware device or a piece of paper stashed in a safe place. Cryptocurrency exchanges use these wallets for long-term storage of customer assets, with funds rarely moving. In June 2018, Fcoin published its Bitcoin cold wallet address on its transparency page. The link now redirects to the exchange's homepage, which displays a note in broken English about Fcoin system upgrading. Fortunately, the cold wallet address was also published in a press announcement in 2018, giving Anchain AI a starting point to analyze over 210,000 transactions among Fcoin's 40,000 wallets. The cold wallet moved 9,889 BTC into another Fcoin-controlled wallet, which then dispersed the funds through various other addresses. The Anchain AI analysis found that early in 2019, Fcoin was moving hundreds of Bitcoin to other exchanges. Among the four biggest recipients, Huobi, where Zhang was the former CTO, received the most. For a few months in 2019, there were no exchange transactions. Activity picked up again in September, with OKEX becoming the preferred destination. Bitcoin erases 38% of 2020 price rally as bears gain strength. View. Bitcoin's daily and 12-hour charts indicate the path of least resistance as to the downside. A break below immediate support at $9,074, February 4th low, would expose the support range of $8,700 to $8,600, under which the focus would shift to $8,300, head and shoulders breakdown target. A corrective bounce to resistance levels at $9,230 and $9,400 may be seen before a potential drop below $9,000, as the hourly chart is reporting seller exhaustion. A close above $10,028 Monday's high is needed to turn the tide in favor of the bulls. Bitcoin dropped to three-week lows early Wednesday, erasing a significant portion of this year's price rally. The top cryptocurrency by market cap slipped to $9,095 at 8:30 Greenwich Mean Time to hit the lowest level since February 4, according to CoinDesk's Bitcoin's Price Index, BPI. With the drop to multi-week lows, Bitcoin has retraced nearly 38% of the rise from $6,850 to $10,500 seen in the 6 weeks to February 13. The rally may continue to unravel as the bears have been looking stronger in the last 24 hours. The cryptocurrency fell below $9,400 during Tuesday's U.S. trading hours, confirming a major bearish reversal pattern on technical charts. Additionally, sellers have breached the widely tracked 50-day moving average (MA) support for the first time since January 3. At press time, Bitcoin is changing hands at $9,140 on Bitstamp, while its global average price is calculated by BPI as seen at $9,175. The head and shoulders breakdown seen on the 12-hour chart indicates a bullish to bearish trend change and has opened the doors for a drop to $8,300 target as per the measured move method. The outlook would turn bullish if and when prices rise above the lower high of $10,028 created on Monday. The MACD histogram, an indicator used to identify trend changes and gauge trend strength, has dropped to the lowest level since November 26, indicating the strongest bearish bias in 3 months. The relative strength index is also reporting a bearish bias with a below 50 print. Further, the cryptocurrency has breached the 50-day average and is trading well below key support at $9,188. Bitcoin had turned lower from that level on January 19. All in all, the path of least resistance is to the downside. A break below the immediate support at $9,075, February 4th low, would invalidate the higher lows set up and bring in additional losses. Popular analyst Josh Rager thinks Bitcoin's convincing move below $9,300 has set the stage for a slide to $8,700-$8,600. That said, a minor bounce may precede a deeper drop as the intraday indicators are reporting oversold conditions. The hourly chart's MACD has printed higher lows, contradicting lower lows on price. That bullish divergence represents seller exhaustion. As such, a corrective rally to resistance near $9,230 and possibly to $9,400 cannot be ruled out. Crypto investors' case against AT&T over $24 million SIM hack can proceed, judge rules. Cryptocurrency investor Michael Turpin can move forward with his case against mobile operator AT&T over his claims the firm was in part responsible for a SIM swap hack that robbed him of holdings worth $24 million. In August 2018, Turpin initiated the case against AT&T alleging that an employee, named as Jamil Smith, had been bribed by a criminal gang to assist the fraud, which passed control of the investor's SIM card to the hackers. Turpin alleged that while he was on the telco's hotline trying to regain access to his phone, his cryptocurrencies were stolen by the gang. In the latest document from the case, filed on Monday, Judge Otis Wright II at the U.S. District Court in the Central District of California denied much of AT&T's most recent motion to dismiss the case. The court had found in July that while Turpin had sufficiently alleged that the hack was reasonably foreseeable, he had not shown proximate cause because he did not connect how granting the hackers, fraudsters access to his phone number resulted in him losing $24 million. With the investor allowed leave to amend the complaint, Wright found that Turpin has now sufficiently alleged proximate cause between AT&T's conduct and the theft. AT&T had also contended that Turpin did not provide facts to support his claim that two-factor authentication, 2FA, was involved in the crime because his cryptocurrency wallets may or may not have used 2FA, an extra level of security that sends a code to a related cell phone number to allow account access. However, in denying the firm's motion to dismiss, the judge said, Mr. Turpin alleges sufficient facts for the court to reasonably infer the hackers may have used 2FA methods to glean Mr. Turpin's personal information from various accounts, such as email or cloud storage. AT&T had also attempted to have Turpin's tort claims for financial losses thrown out by contending that they are barred by economic loss doctrine, which sets out that parties entering a contract should be able to anticipate any potential losses resulting from a breach of the agreement. However, if there is a special relationship between the parties, tort claims can be made if one party breaches the contract. Judge Wright found that since Turpin was required to share personal information with AT&T with the understanding that AT&T would adequately protect it, he had sufficiently made a case for there being a special relationship. On points where Judge Wright did not rule against AT&T in the motion, Turpin has been given 21 days to file an amended complaint to address any deficiencies. Turpin is suing AT&T for $23.8 million in compensation, as well as $200 million in punitive damages. In a press release on Tuesday, Turpin announced that he will file a second amended complaint before the court's deadline to support his request for punitive damages. He plans to demonstrate how AT&T was both knowledgeable of, and responsible for, an ongoing sequence of cryptocurrency thefts due to SIM swaps dating back to well before Turpin's hack, the release states. Malta's financial watchdog highlights obstacles to security tokens after industry consultation. The Malta Financial Services Authority, MFSA, has released a feedback statement, unveiling industry answers to questions regarding offerings of security tokens within the country. In the document published Tuesday, the EU nation's financial regulator summarized 2 months of feedback received from market participants over how challenges arising from security token offerings, STOs, can be tackled in a manner that does not stifle innovation. Beginning in July 19, 2019, the consultation process set out to establish legal certainty and identify challenges for blockchain-based securities within the Maltese financial markets. Consultation ended on September 16, 2019, with the MFSA having received feedback from 18 industry participants hailing from national agencies, consultancy and law firms, as well as technology providers. The MFSA focused on the implications of STOs within the framework of European Union legislation, including the Markets in Financial Instruments Directive and the Market Abuse Regulation, among others. The regulator notes in its conclusion that digital ledger-based settlement could provide a workable solution. However, it adds that a number of the respondents said, unless there are changes at the EU level relating to Central Securities Depository (CSD) rules, there are obstacles to the introduction of the tech. Regulations require that transferable securities listed at a trading venue must be recorded in the books of a CSD. The means that the ambitions of security token projects to remove the CSD middleman are not possible without optimizing the legislation for distributed ledgers, the regulator said. It also flagged that while respondents provided much feedback on the securities part of transactions, not much was said about the cash side of settlement. Certain issues would need to be resolved before secondary market trading for security tokens can take off, the authority believes. Clamping down? Tuesday's release of the feedback comes days after the MFSA published a statement declaring that crypto exchange Binance, which proclaimed Malta to be its new home 2 years ago, was not regulated or licensed to operate as an exchange in its jurisdiction. According to Decrypt, the feedback statement came in response to an article in the Times of Malta, which said Binance was still headquartered in the nation. The exchange says it currently employs only a few customer service agents in Malta, but has been listing the jurisdiction at the top of press releases as recently as this month. It looks likely that Malta is looking to shed its reputation as a hub for money laundering. Over the past 2 months, its prime minister has stepped down due to his alleged involvement in the cover-up of the murder of Maltese journalist Daphne Caruana Galizia. Since then, the MFSA has announced the addition of new leadership, including three UK nationals with vast experience in banking supervision, financial crime compliance and conduct supervision. Part of the shuffling is aimed to help Malta fall more in line with European Central Bank recommendations, according to a press release shared last week. The MFSA has also been warned that it could be placed on the Financial Action Task Force's grey list, potentially facing legal sanctions. MFSA Chief Officer for Strategy, Policy and Innovation Chris Buttigieg said. We need to raise the bar and ensure that there are certain standards, and we need to convince our peers and international institutions that we're serious in the way we carry out our supervisory financial processes and our enforcement, he said last week, according to Malta Today. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.